Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by Habs Eyes on the Prize.com.
Hello, welcome to maybe the most exciting period of the year for Eyes on the Prize, because it is the top 25, under 25. You might have seen the new logo that one of my colleagues from work sorted out for me. Amazing logo. She's not on Twitter and she doesn't want to get it promote her name out there, but amazing work from a graphic designer student. I'm super happy to have a specialist logo. It's the same one as you might have seen from my guest's bottom 6 minutes, Matt Drake.
How you most doing, wonderful time of the year, right? Who needs Christmas? You got top 25 under 25, forget Christmas, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, take a look at this list, and I'm not going to rattle it off. I'm sure you can see it in Justin's article. If not, just go and watch it on Justin's article. There is top 25, top 51 under 25, and we could even have done a top 25 under 21 this year, because that's how many players, was it 28 players that was under 21 in the system, which is incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. And it's something to look forward to for the upcoming years, and maybe a cornerstone for success down the line.
Yeah, you see, like, they've talked a lot about wanting to put a focus on development, so we're going to find out if they're serious about that, right? Having 28 players this year that are under 21 years of age in the system, I mean, you have plenty of opportunity there to develop players. If you can't get it done, then I guess your focus wasn't on development as much as it should have been. So it's a good test for this new regime to see how seriously are they going to take that development.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen it before. They brought in specialist coaches. They brought in development teams. That there is some refurbishment in the scouting department. It really seems that they're building for the long term, and something that maybe all of us have appreciated, even if we did enjoy a fantastic run last year to the Cup Finals, but it also cost the Canadians dearly when it came to Weber, Price, and you know, the start of the season where Ducharme finally got fired, and deadline day, where we saw today, because it's Friday here, that Arturi Lehkonen had his cup day in Finland, and amazing to see a former Hab and a beloved Hab like that to hoist the cup and share it with his community.
Yeah, he deserved every second of that, man. I wish he could have got that as a member of the Montreal Canadiens, but I'm happy for him. I'm super happy for him.
Indeed. We're not going to linger, though, on what could have been or players that we're missing on the top 25 under 25, but we're here to talk about the top 25 under 25. And I mean, we both have different approach in regards to ranking these players, and we sit down with a couple of beers and usually too short time to really do it perfect. But I can just speak for myself. I put people into categories. In which order do I prefer them? And usually I start with the bottom and I start with the top, and then I have about 50 players sorted at that time, but one would assume that today or this year I would probably have 20 players sorted. And then you sort of fill in levels where you can push people in and see where you go. Justin, and I'm actually reading this from last year, so I hope Justin hasn't done any different setting where he said that instead of asking which player you would rather trade, ask which player you'd rather lose. If you would be more upset with the organization parting with a certain prospect than a particular established NHL player, the prospect should be higher on your list. The player at the bottom of your ballot should be the one the organization and you would miss the least if you left. We all know who that one's going to be, but I'm not going to give you that name just yet. But let's face it, we all know who it's going to be. The player at the top will be the one you would happily rebuild your franchise around from scratch, whether it's the current top six NHL forward or a minor league goaltender or a teenage defenseman. And I think this is important. It comes down to maybe which player would you rather lose than to keep? Because it's losing someone hurts, and we know that.
Yeah, and it's one of the two. It's like you have to, if you're sitting there struggling with your rankings, you have to decide which of these two guys would I rather keep or which would I prefer to lose, however you prefer to look at it, that's kind of how you have to go about it. I mean, myself, the way I go about it is I always start from the top. I try to think, who are my top five? I come up with my top five first. I kind of get those ones locked down, not necessarily locked down 100%. But I try to determine who do I think my top five are, and maybe I make some slight adjustments inside of that top five thereafter. But what I want to know is who is in the top five. And then I focus on who's at the bottom. So kind of similar to the way that you do it, right? Almost like putting them in categories. I'm trying to think of who do I really think has no shot of making the Montreal Canadiens, because I know they're going down to the bottom, right? I'm going to put them down in the 30s, the 40s, right?
And 50s nowadays.
And 50s nowadays, we've gotten that deep in terms of the prospect pool. So there's a lot of movement in that middle area. That middle area, like once I figure out my top five and, you know, my bottom 10 or so, the rest is very much up for debate. I try to think back on everything I've seen throughout the course of the year, from watching junior hockey, from watching any international play, from watching NHL, right? And, you know, I lean on people like you for some advice about European prospects sometimes. You got to use every source available to you to try and, you know, play around with that middle. And the nice thing about it is you can never be wrong, right? You can technically be wrong. You could rank somebody higher than they should be, but then the very next year you get a chance to correct yourself and say, all right, well, you know what? I ranked this guy too high last time. I'm going to drop him this time because I don't feel so good about it anymore based on what he did this year. So you get plenty of opportunity to kind of correct anything that you feel like you did wrong. And really, like you said, all you got to do is decide who would I rather keep, or if you prefer it the other way around, who would I rather lose?
Indeed. And also, you need to, first and foremost, we have to say this. We are under strict orders not to discuss the top 25, 125 in the chat as well. We're not discussing it with each other. You lean on references, articles. You might actually ask someone outside if who would you rank higher of these two, but you don't mention that it's top 25 unit. Most of our friends former colleagues know that. But it's interesting in that regard. Second is obviously that you can be wrong, as you say. You rank someone 10 places too high. But in regards to that, it would be like about 10 out of the Eyes on the Prize ranking. There'd be two from the community, and you have the community vote as well. That means that it would be around 13 positions. Or 13 individual ballots, if you call it that. But obviously one ballot would be mashed out of 400 or 500 or even more readers helping out. So with that in mind, you're going to have, if I rank someone at 25 and the rest of you guys rank them 30, I might have pushed up the average by, you know, not even a point, which might not mean more than maximum two spots.
Mm.
So
yeah, it doesn't make a huge difference if you're that far off from somebody else. And at the end of the day, it's all personal preference, right? You might value one player more than somebody else values that same player. It could depend on position. Maybe this is their style of play. Maybe you just don't think they fit within the context of, you know, the Montreal Canadiens' greater future. You're not destroying the rankings by deciding, well, you know what, this guy, I'm putting him at 26. If everybody else puts him at 11, he's still going to fall somewhere around that 11 spot, right? You're just voicing your opinion in terms of what you think of that prospect. And again, you could be like, you know, in the strictest sense of the word, you could be wrong because that player could end up being very good, but then you get an opportunity to correct yourself in the future. So it's one of the times I say this. Yeah. I say this every year, right? I love to be wrong when I'm ranking the top 25 under 25. I love to be wrong. Cause you know what that means? It means I underestimated somebody. I undervalued somebody and they ended up performing better. Yeah. They ended up making the Montreal Canadiens and making a difference for the Montreal Canadiens. I love that. That's my team. I want all of these guys to be successful. So if I rank somebody number 27, it doesn't mean I want him to be number 27 forever. It's just, I feel like he's number 27 right now, but if he ends up being number one, oh baby, I'm going to love that guy.
Yeah. And we all have different information as well. I love to read the community or the comments within the community, because some of you guys have been on games all through the queue, OHL, AHL, and you've seen things that I don't see, just like I see things in Europe that you might not see because I've been following every game for one player or another. And I think it is the strength. This is the strength, real strength of the Eyes on the Prize community. We share information in such a respectful way, and it really helps to go back and read Adi's articles. Not to promote my own work, but obviously I'm part of it. What Anton says on the podcast in regards to Europeans, what Matt says, what he's watching the queue, and your friends, speak to them. And then actually your friends, make sure they vote as well, because it just strengthens the vote.
Yeah.
And it more, gives us more information that we can talk about.
Yeah, the more data that you have, the more votes that you have, the more robust that ranking ends up being.
Indeed.
Right. And again, it's fan driven. That's one of the great things about EOTP. Like you said, it's a community. It's not, you know, we're not behind a paywall like some other sites that I won't mention right now. We are free to the public, man. You can come in, you can read what we got to say, and you get to contribute as well. When it comes to the top 25, under 25, we take that community vote very seriously. You know, Justin does a lot of work making sure that he takes out any of the troll votes.
Yeah.
So take a look at it, right? Like if you have Nick Suzuki ranked number 30, obviously that's a troll vote. We're throwing that one out, right? We're not taking every single vote. We are also curating this list to make sure that it's legitimate, that we're avoiding any kind of trolling on the internet, that it's, and again, you get the opportunity to really have your voice and where you feel like these people should be ranked. And then the more votes we get, the more robust ranking we have, and the more interesting discussion that we get to have as a result, because let's face it, we've all got our own opinions. Like you said, we don't talk about it in the chat because we don't want to influence each other's votes. When you look at like even the historical ones, I mean, usually in the top three, we're all pretty close to each other in terms of the EOTP staff. But outside of the top three, top four, we get pretty wild in terms of variations, even between ourselves. Never mind when you get the community vote and you get hundreds of people casting ballots in there as well, maybe even thousands this year. It's interesting, and it's always like you said, it provokes great discussion because we get to sit here and we get to talk about the future of the Montreal Canadiens. And let's face it, talking about the future for the Montreal Canadiens is definitely more fun than talking about the present right now.
Indeed it is. And we have to mention this fact that, you know, this is one of the most important projects in over the year for Eyes on the Prize. We don't want to fail it. We don't want to fail you. We don't want to fail ourselves. We go into this place with a very high expectations of excellence in this regard. The write-ups, the comments, we try to, if we know that our vote sticks out, we usually ask the writer of the article to make a comment. This is why I thought what I did, in order to make people understand why we might be off or something else. But we will be off. Everyone will be off. And it's not a race to has, mm-hmm. who has more most right in regards to the community vote. The real winner should be the community in itself, for the discussion, for the added value of information that we get access to. I think this is the main thing. I know a lot of you will only, I shouldn't say, you will rank 25 players, and that's great. I always pride myself on trying to rank everyone. And let me tell you guys, it's not easy. So I completely understand ranking 25. Do what you are comfortable with. If you're happy with 33 and you know these are the 33 that I'm happy with, and I know the order that I'm happy with, you do that. You rank those 33 and leave it at that. Because it is important. Even those extra 8 players will make a difference, and it will make an added value to everything that we do here.
Yeah, so, and those non-ranked, like, it's not, again, going to make that much of an impact on the overall rankings. If you feel like you haven't seen somebody enough to rank them, don't rank them. Again, I talked about all the work Justin does in terms of making sure that we don't have any of those troll votes. Well, Jared does a heck of a job keeping that spreadsheet too, really making sure that those rankings are comprehensive, that everything's done very well. And again, if you feel like you haven't seen somebody enough to rank them, don't rank them.
Indeed. And like, there will be players. I know that there will be players that we haven't seen.
Of course. I'd be surprised. I'd be super surprised if anybody, and you know what? I wouldn't believe anybody who says I've seen all of them play. And I'd be even more surprised if they said I've seen all of them play more than once. I don't think that person exists. Right?
Well, they don't have a social life anyway. Sorry,
Maybe they exist, but that's literally all they do. They just sit there and stream every single hockey game that they get their hands on. But like, the reality is, watching all of these players, it's very tough. Like, let's face it, we know, and we joke about it all the time, I have a little bit of a bias towards Q players because I watch a lot more Q than I do European hockey, for instance, right? There's only so much time in the day. So for me, the Q is something I really like. I definitely watch a lot of OHL and WHL as well, but I think Q I watch more than any of the other leagues. So I'm going to lean a little bit more towards those players, and I might lean away from some other players. I mean, you can do your absolute best to try and pull every single YouTube video on every single player, but it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of research. So, you know, you do your best. You try to educate yourself as much as possible. And guess what? Again, it's always fun to be wrong, because if there's somebody who you don't rank and then they end up being a legitimate contributor for the Montreal Canadiens, you're going to look back at that and you're not going to be pissed at yourself and say, well, why didn't I watch more of this random team in whatever league? You're going to go, I can't believe this guy's story. I didn't know about him 3 years ago, and now he's on the second line or whatever. It's always nice. Like, I remember the first time I ranked Brendan Gallagher, I had him low. And I can tell you how much pride it gave me that Brendan Gallagher ended up being a legitimate, you know, top six forward for the Montreal Canadiens. I was never upset at myself for ranking him low. I was happy that somebody that underestimated ended up being that valuable.
Indeed. And we have this thing as well, that we look at these guys that's going to be ranked in the, usually ranked in the 30s, or when you started, 40s when I started, and 50s now with some other guys starting, and they're not failures. A lot of them, they live their dream in many ways. Let's take one guy that has been on the ballot for what, 4 years, and he's been at the bottom for most of them, and he's getting a college degree. He's probably going to make a living out of some kind of hockey for a bit, and then he's going to go into a great job without any debt. Arvid Henriksen, yeah. And you know, it's I know he's had a study head as well, so I know he's going to do well, and he's getting that degree. He's worked on it. He comes out of a college without a debt that many of us, the rest of us, had when we came out. And I mean, fair play to him. And it's not a failure. It's not a failure if you go and play in the KHL. Well, this year it's a failure if you go and play in KHL. But if you go to Europe and play, or if you stay in AHL and play, or you're not a failure. Because we are not maybe what we thought we would be when we were 15, 20, 25. Hell, I wanted to be a fireman. I'm never going to be a fireman. I'm not a failure for that. I'm successful in other ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I was 10 years old, I still thought I was going to the NHL. And let's just say,
you're almost Drizzy's there, but in another
old Drizzy's definitely not there.
Well, you might be there in another old online.
Well, I'm still waiting on my call. All right. I'm 32 years old, but I got some size. All right. So if there's any NHL teams out there looking for a 6 foot, you know, 225 pound center or something, I can play all positions. I'm good. I can fight. Let's go. Sign me. I'm cheap.
He's too old for the top 25, under 25, though. That's the main thing that we're talking about here. We're just going to keep this short. We don't want to ruin this, but it's a great exercise. One thing I would say is be sure to know that you have a couple of hours where you have the time, or leave the vote site open.
Yeah, so that you can rank all 51 if possible, or as many as you're going to, right?
Indeed, like, and leave it open on your browser, and you can go back to it a couple of hours later or even a day later and all that, in order to make sure. And then, for Justin's sake and sanity, be sure to print, screenshot your rankings if you want them. It's super important. Screenshot it, write them down yourself, put them in Excel, whatnot, or Google Sheets, or whatever you use for help. Make sure you have it,
because we can technically provide it to you afterwards, but you have to e-transfer myself $500 and $500 to Patrick as well, if you want,
and $1,000 to Justin, to
you afterwards.
Just be sure,
$1,000 to Justin. So that's gonna cost you $2,000 just to get your list back afterwards. So screenshot. No,
we're only joking. Justin does provide that service for but let's keep it to single digits this year, because I think it was up to 20, 25 lists last year. And it takes time, but we're happy to provide it. But if we can make everyone's life a little bit easier, we'll try to do that. And so screenshot it. Not everyone has the benefit that you and I have when we rank them, that we can see all our votes down the line. But you know, take a screenshot.
But you can always go into the archives at Eyes on the Prize. And if you go into the top 25 under 25 tab, you can go take a look at the historical rankings, and you can get a good idea of where people came out at before in previous rankings. I would advise everybody, though, like, if that's something, like me personally, I don't look at my previous rankings. I tend to avoid looking at what did I do last year, because there's so much that can change in a year. Right. We've got some guys who are no longer on the list that were staples on that list last year. Like Alexander Romanov came in last year at what, number 3, and he's gone.
Indeed.
Right. Ryan Poehling came in at number 6. He's gone.
And then we also have
we have
risers that were outside the 25 that are going to be in it this year, even with a very strong draft class.
Absolutely. There's people in the 20s that might end up in the top 10. Right. There's going to be a lot of movement. And if you, like, again, if you want, you can definitely go to eyesontheprize.com or habseyesontheprize.com. You can go to the historical rankings of the top 20 and 525. You can definitely find it, and you can take a look.
If you're interested, how wrong Matt and I have been on some of these.
Exactly. And then if you want, you know, you can always send us a message and ask us, how do you feel about being wrong? And I guarantee you, most of the time, I'm going to tell you anyways, can't speak for Pat, but I don't care when I'm wrong. I feel good about being wrong. Right. If I rank somebody high and they're bad, you know what? At least we found out. At least I know now. If I rank somebody too low and they end up being great, again, it gives me a source of pride. We got somebody that was underestimated that ended up doing better. But the only thing that I would encourage people really is, if you're looking at those historical rankings, don't base your rankings now on what was ranked before. So much can change in a year.
It's a new year.
So much can change.
It's a new year.
Look at my boy Joshua Hua. Look at what he did from 1 year to the next. And I mean, tell me, would you legitimately think that his ranking last year matters at all to you when you're ranking him this year? I hope not. And I'd say the same thing for many other people on the list too.
Indeed. Pizzetta, Dishow,
Slavkovsky. Dishow's a really good one. Dishow's a really good one, right?
Slavkovsky wasn't even on the list last year. He wasn't even a top.
He wasn't even there.
He wasn't even a first overall pick last year. Like when he started, because everyone thought,
most people didn't know who he was.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there's going to be movement. There's going to be tears, or there's going to be movement the other way around as well, obviously, because we have more data. We have more information. We have more understanding. We can see where a player pans out. And it's important. And I think really with, I think it was around 420 votes last year. I mean, like, That is the strength of the community. We know you're more than that reads. Be sure to participate in this. I always know that there are someone who's coming in, long-time reader, first-time poster. I did the vote, and we love those. So make sure to talk to your friends, get them involved. If you know someone reads the site, make sure to tell them, hey, go on, rank 25 players. You can be wrong. No one's going to laugh at you.
Yeah, if we ended up with, like, you know, I don't know, 10,000 ballots this year, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be awesome.
It'd be awesome.
But we could, you know, if we could get up to 500, I think that would be awesome as well. And I mean, there are plenty of rankings out there. There are plenty of you know, prospect writers out there. Take a look what they think. But look for more than one source.
That's you mentioned that, and I want to give him a plug, even though he's not here. Everybody's got to go and watch Hattie's video.
The video, yeah.
He made a scouting video on Owen Beck, who's like, I feel like Owen Beck's a lesser known prospect. I think he's going to be on the list this year. I don't know where. I'm not going to lean anybody to tell him where I'm going to put him on the list, but he's going to be on my list, and I just won't tell you where. But Hattie has a great scouting video out on him that he just put out on his YouTube, and you can find it on HabsEyesInThePrize.com as well. Yeah. It's a must watch for anybody who hasn't gotten the chance to see Owen Beck yet.
And Hattie's YouTube channel, just subscribe to it when you're there. If you look at the video on Eyes on the Prize, you can click YouTube and you get there and you subscribe to the channel. He will go through all year's draft picks. This year's draft picks, every one of them will go through. Meshar and Slavkovsky has already been done.
Yeah, he's already got Slavkovsky and Meshar. So, Hattie's putting in the work, man.
Yeah,
if you need some additional help when you're trying to scout some of these guys to make your list, check out his YouTube channel. Shameless plug. I don't make any money off of it.
And
Hattie, you got to pay me now.
Yeah, and NHL teams, if you need another scout, get Hattie. Anyways, it's been lovely. Take a look at this brand new awesome logo. Make sure to you know, take those 2 hours out of your schedule to try to rank 25 players, even more if you prefer. Be sure to have something nice that you like to drink afterwards or even during it to get through that list. Matt and myself, Patrick Bexel, we appreciate all your listeners. We appreciate all your work that you're going to put in the upcoming 10 days. And we hope you appreciate and listen to this. And if you have any thoughts on guests for these podcasts that we're going to do during the top 25 under 25, where we talk about different prospects and where they're ranked and how they can be improved. And if guests know something that we don't, be sure to tell us in this article that Justin has written and we're part of, in order for us to try to find these people that can help us bring more knowledge into the community. Otherwise, reach out on Twitter to Matt Drake or myself, Patrick Bexel, or the Eyes of the Prize account. We always read what comes up there as well. Thank you guys for listening, and enjoy the top 25 under 25 with 51 players.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.